Good morning. Hopefully everybody can hear me. Well, this morning I wanted to start off with a very simple question. It's actually a question that really changed my life and just my ministry in general. The question is, who is God? Now, for those of you that haven't heard me preach or haven't really had the privilege of sitting into one of my sermons, I do like feedback, so I do want to hear from you. If somebody were to come up to you today and ask you the very simple question, tell me, who is God? What would you say? Friend and creator of the universe. God is love. Redeemer. Our Father. Mm-hmm. Any other ones? Mm-hmm. Consuming fire. Mm-hmm. All of these terms are correct. Now, I want to take everybody to a story before we continue on that. We're going to go to John 8, verse 2 to 11. I'll give you a moment to get there if you have your Bibles. I think we're all familiar with this story here. So starting at verse 2 here, it says, "At dawn he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?' They were using this question as a trap, in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up to them and said to them, 'Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to cast a stone at her.' Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, 'Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?' To which she replies, 'No one, sir.' 'Neither do I condemn you,' Jesus declared. 'Now go and leave your life of sin.'" If we continue to follow her story, we know that Jesus casts out 7 demons out of her at another time. We know that Jesus spends time with her. We believe this woman to be Mary Magdalene. Now let me ask the question. If you were to go to her and ask her the simple question, "Tell me, who is God?" What do you think she would say? The great physician? Forgiver? How about my friend? One of the very few people in my life who has treated me with compassion, treated me with kindness. Now let's look at the story, let's look at it in a little more detail. So this woman is dragged through the streets. I've always assumed that they've probably tried to inflict the maximum amount of humiliation on her. So they've dragged her through the streets naked. They've done everything they can to humiliate her, to dehumanize her, to make her feel like she's nothing, to the point of death. And yet at no point does Jesus ever treat her that way. Time and time again, we don't really have the text for it, but we see that by the time Jesus is raised from the dead, she is the first person he appears to. By that point in time, there is such an intimate connection that I think her description of Jesus would go beyond anything I think that we could know. What I'm trying to drive at is, so often we can get caught up in these descriptions. And God is all these things, consuming fire. He is everything. You know, everything that was said here this morning is true. But it's so much more. Think about the person you love the most in this world. How would you describe that person? You know, if you were to ask my wife, she could say, you know, I'm tall, bald. You know, she could give me the physical descriptions. But she could also tell you things that are very individual. She could tell you how there's times she has to be careful where she goes in the house because as big as I am, I can pop out of nowhere. You know, it could be behind a door. It could be, I materialize. There's times she's there alone and all of a sudden I'm right there next to her. There's times that I'm extremely sweet and yet at the same time, I'm absolutely terrible to her. You know, the times that she loves me and the times she loves to hit me. The idea is that the relationship between me and her, the relationship between this woman here in John 8 and Jesus was highly personal. It was interesting, when just in studying this a while back, I was drawn to a very familiar text, one we are all aware of, you know, Revelation 3, 14 and 16. So to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich. And white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. To those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So he ends, again, on a very personal note. To those who are victorious, they will not only just show up in heaven, they have the right to sit next to him, be with him, be close to him. Now, we live in an age of social media. We live in an age where our slightest details are everywhere. And we also live in an age where, you know, you can turn on your news and hear about this or that. And while I don't follow a lot of the pop culture out there because there's just too much out there, I don't have time for that in my day. But one thing that we see is that there are people that follow celebrities, and they follow them, they know everything about them. Favorite places to go, music, send letters, get restraining orders. We call them stalkers if you're too involved in a person's life. Now the question is, what's the difference between a stalker and someone who has a personal relationship? When it's a stalker, they only know the attributes. They only know what they do. They don't know the person. So let me ask this other question here. How often do we stalk God? How often do we study our Bibles just to get to know about him? You know, God is infinite. He is beyond us. And we often study our Bibles, we see what he does, we could tell you attributes of God, and yet, I don't know if about you, but I find this in my own life. At times, I find myself lacking with who he is. I know about him, but I don't know him as well as I should. Yet when we go back to Revelation, it's very simple. I stand at the door and knock. If you want to get to know me, just invite me in. He doesn't want us just to see from afar. He wants us to experience who he is. Woman caught in adultery. one of the most humiliating ways to meet God. I couldn't even imagine. And yet, she allowed Christ to get close to her. She allowed herself to spend time with him. We have the story of her and her sister. Her sister's busy. All she wants to do is sit at his feet. She loves him so much that she's willing to break social norms. The washing of his feet with her tears. It was all about her personal relationship. She could care less about what anybody else thinks. It was about her and God. And this is the same thing that God is offering us in Revelation. Jesus is giving us the same offer. I'm standing here. I want to give you the exact same thing. I want to get to know you. I don't want it just to be about what you know about me. I want it to be personal. I want you to know about my sense of humor. And he does have one. And I'll be the first to say, I don't find him funny half the time. But he does have a sense of humor. He is as personal to us as we are to each other. And so this morning, that is the only thing I want to challenge everybody. Spend time. Get to know him. Not about him. Get to know him. Those moments are indescribable. Indescribable. I work with people who, I've talked to people, I have people in my family, I have friends who give me the same answer, God is, you know, this or God is that. It all gets back down to somewhere deep down they're afraid of who he is because of what they think they know about him. And yet we have the opportunity to dive deeper into a relationship with him each and every day. So as I close out, I just want to take you back to Jeremiah 29:13. If you seek me, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When our desire is him and him alone, when our desire is not to be healed, but to be next to the healer, when our desire is to be next to the one who is there with us at all times. So this morning, I ask everybody, let's break off into groups, two or three. And let's spend the next 10, 15 minutes just in prayer, focusing on praying for each other, focusing on getting to know God, asking the deep question, who are you? It's the scariest question we can ask God, because he will answer. Well, I think that's everybody good. I don't want to interrupt a prayer. My wife also asked me just to clarify, because I'm a morning person night person. Put a sermon on at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I have all the energy in the world. Put it on at this time in the morning, my brain doesn't function. But she wanted me to clarify that when I mean I'm terrible to her, I mean I'm actually, I find things funny she doesn't, and I annoy her to no end. So she wanted me to clarify that. the privilege we have to worship and get to know the creator of the universe. Can we really even fit that into our understanding? By the grace of God, it'll be the study of eternity. Every time you think you've gotten a grasp on it, you realize there's a whole other ocean that you can just begin to dive into. The more we dive into it, the greater we realize he is, the less we are, but the greater we realize his love is. It's all about our personal relationship with him. There's a phrase I like to use that it's all about him, for him, it's all about us. He has no problem going into the darkest places, the most disgusting places we can imagine, the worst things we've ever experienced, the things that we couldn't even begin to think about. He is in every one of those moments, offering comfort, offering love. He is there. He's willing to suffer with us so that we're never alone. There's no depth he won't go to. There's no height he won't climb. For him, it is about us and it's us alone. Woman in John 8. Humiliated. We don't know what our past life is about. You know, the more we study, the more we realize or understand about society, the more we realize she was probably very abused as a child to go into that lifestyle. And yet, he is there for each and every one of us. So we have the privilege of getting to know him, of diving deeper. Like we were saying, yes, all these terms that we use, they're great. But what about our personal terms? Somebody comes to ask us, who is God? My first thing is, I can't even begin. How do I tell you about a God that brings tears to my eyes every time I think about it? How do I tell you about a God who is there during the worst that's happened to me and the worst that I've done? But it's the beginning point. The privilege to dive into who he is, to dive into his arms, to dive into just that love that knows no bounds. A love that is willing to suffer for us. So join me in closing prayer. Loving Father, where do we begin? We praise you for who you are. The things you do for us, the things you give us, regardless of what we've done to you and what we've done to each other, Father, you are there with us. You never let us go. Father, teach us how to dive into your relationship, into your arms, into a knowledge of you. Father, teach us to just bask in your presence. Father, what more could we ask for? We have you. Everything else is secondary. So, Father, in those moments where we don't feel you, in those moments where we feel lost and we feel unwanted and we feel disconnected, wrap your arms tighter around us. Let us feel your presence. Let us feel your love. Let us feel that you are there. Father, just in awe, like, what more can we ask for? We want to praise you in the name of our Lord, our Jesus. Amen.